G'day, everybody. And we wear a mask because we care. We really do. It is actually part of being thoughtful of those who are around you. And so certainly everyone who's here at the Crossway facility right now, which is not very many people at all, but we're all wearing a mask. My wife made this one. I chose to wear it today. She thought this one was for her because it was a little bit pink, but it matched my shirt. So I thought I'd wear it today. Hey, just want to let you know, this Thursday night, we have a gathering online through Zoom of our Crossway business community. Michael Elias, and Michael holds a senior role in his domain of industry, is going to be speaking about the place of the Holy Spirit in business. So go check out our website if you want to see a little bit and be part of that this Thursday night. It's going to be good, 6 p.m. All right. I want to chat today about the Jesus paradigm. Now, just before we go there, I just want to be grateful to God that He does home visits. And I want you to know, as we move into today's message, that God does home visits. He's not socially distanced from you. You're not isolated from Him. He's right there with you. So I think actually what I'm going to be speaking today is one of the more significant messages that I've brought for some time. I have seen, and as I've looked at the scriptures for this message, I've been seeing a different angle. And today, I think, might be one of those messages where it would be a good idea to have a pen and paper in your hand. I know the message is going to continue to be online, but this is just going to be a good one. So if you haven't yet, go grab yourself a pad and a pen, and you might just want to jot down some of the main points. But let's just pause right at the start here, and let's pray together, shall we? So, Father in heaven, we invite you, come right now to each one's home, wherever anyone is sitting. They might be on their deck, they might be in a park with their mobile phone, wherever people who are hearing this right now are positioned. Father, come right now by your Holy Spirit. I pray that I would speak your words, that you would so inspire and stir that connection between my heart, my mind, and my mouth, that which I speak carries that gravitas and impetus and life of your Holy Spirit. That's our prayer. Speak to us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, have you ever seen somebody do something incredibly well, and you get that sense of, how do they do that? How do they do it? You'd just love to know. You see somebody who maybe they're doing what I'm doing now. If you're somebody who does public speaking, and you might say about somebody who does this regularly, hey, how do you do that bit? How do you speak without notes? Or I've surfed since I was a teenager. I think these days, though, I have to say I used to surf because I haven't been for so many years. But to be able to say, to see someone who can surf, say, how do you do that? Now, for a person to be able to explain how they do what they do, frequently they have to dial backwards from an unconscious competence. Because when somebody knows how to do something, they develop an unconscious competence about the whole deal. But if they're going to be able to explain it, they actually have to be able to dial backwards to a conscious competence. That is, a person needs to pause and think about, how am I actually doing what I'm doing, and frame it up with language. Well, how would you like it if Jesus actually dialed back to a conscious competence and explained to you how he did what he did? Well, truth is, he's already done it. It's contained in the Word of God, but you might never have noticed it before. So I'm going to give you a handful of paradigms today, quoting Jesus, all from John's Gospel, where Jesus explains how he does what he does, and therefore the implications for us. So let's have a quick look at them. This is Jesus explaining how he does what he does. Number one, Jesus said that he watched what God was doing before he acted. You can see this in John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Now, anything in yellow in this whole message today, in your lounge room, I want you to speak it with me. Okay, so you ready? Here we go. This is Jesus speaking. He does only what he sees the Father doing? If we're putting that in the first person, I only do what I see the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does, Jesus said. So here's paradigm number one from Jesus. It's this. And here's the paradigm for us. What's the therefore? Therefore, look for and join God in what he's doing. So we get Jesus saying this. He says, how do I do what I do? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Now that means as Jesus entered into his day, as Jesus went to work, as Jesus was hanging around with the disciples or in a crowd of people, Jesus had a lens that was taking place, a way in which he saw life. And that lens was that he would look to see what God was doing and he'd join God in what he was doing. That is an incredibly powerful paradigm. Have you ever thought about that paradigm? Do you yourself action in that paradigm? Now, this is real for those of us who are parents, just as much as it's real for those who have no kids or who are single. This is real for senior citizens. Have you ever actually developed the art and the capacity to look through the spiritual lens and to say to yourself, I will only do what I see God doing. And therefore to look around and say, what's God doing? Because I want to join God in what he's doing. That was Jesus' lens. He said in the Sermon on the Mount at one point in what's called the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. So in other words, people who've got that purity of heart towards God, those who've got that transparent relationship with God, they will see him. So Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, paradigm number one. Here's paradigm number two. Jesus connected his capacity to see what God was doing with intimacy with God. Jesus joined those dots. He said, I can see because of the nature of this very relationship. Here's where he said that, the first part of John chapter 5, verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. So now Jesus connects a loving relationship with the reveal. Do you see that? Jesus connects a loving relationship with God's willingness to do the reveal. Now, I want you, with these various verses, as Jesus speaks these things, here's a challenge I want you to do. Internally, I might even speak it just to give you an example. I want you to speak it out where you're putting it into the first person. So here we go. The Father loves me and shows me everything he's doing. The Father loves me and shows me everything he's doing. Now you might say, this is Jesus demonstrating in perfection what it's like to be in relationship with God. He was the perfect, the sinless Son of the living God. But this is him operating as a human being. So Jesus said, the Father loves me, shows me everything he's doing. So here's paradigm number two. And here's the therefore for us. Therefore, be intimate with God so that you can see what he's doing. There is a willingness on God's part to reveal to you the very nature of what he's doing. And it happens because he loves you. You are known, you are loved, and your life matters. You might want to say that right now. I am known, I am loved, and my life matters. The Bible says God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. The Bible says God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says God is love. So have no doubt that God knows you and he loves you. And as a result of that love, God is willing to show you. Jesus said, because he loves me, he shows me what he's doing. Here's paradigm number three in the paradigm of Jesus. Jesus anticipated his Father would show him how to do even greater work. Now, this is really significant. Have a look at the way Jesus said this. This is the second part of John chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus said, in fact, say it with me, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. then you'll truly be astonished. Now, I find this completely amazing that Jesus operated in a paradigm whereby he was convinced that God would show him how, and not only that God would show him how, but that God would show him how to do even greater works. Do you carry that mindset into your life? There's still more with God. That God is willing to show you, that God's willing to show you because he loves you, and that God is willing to show you even greater works that can be done. This is the paradigm of Jesus. How did Jesus do what he did? He was convinced that God loved him. He was convinced that God was prepared to show him. He was even convinced, because here Jesus is speaking forward. The Father will show him. He's speaking about himself. The Father will show me how to do even greater works. Now say that yourself. I mean it. Say it yourself. The Father will show me how to do even greater works. You see, you're still a work in progress. I love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for you to do. How amazing. You're his masterpiece. God has good works that are prepared for you, and that God himself is going to show you how. That's what Jesus said. He's going to show me how to do even greater works. So here's the paradigm. Therefore, for us, expect God to show you how to do greater works. You're not done yet. Here we go. Paradigm number four. Jesus listened to what God was saying to him prior to forming his own opinions. This is a really big one, especially for those of us who are opinionated people. It takes me about a millisecond to form an opinion about something. That's just me operating as me. Takes me a lot more time to process through God's opinions about a circumstance. But Jesus listened to what God was saying prior to forming his opinions. Here's how he put it. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. I judge. Now, the word here, judge, I don't want you to think about it as passing judgment. I want you to think this word here more as in the formulation of perspective, the formulation of opinion. Jesus' judgments. I judge as God tells me, Jesus said. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me and not my own will. Okay, I want you to do it again. I want you to make it personal. Are you ready? Say this as if it's you. I can do nothing on my own. I judge, I formulate my opinions as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. So what's the paradigm? What's the therefore for us? Therefore, listen to what God is saying to you before you form your opinions. You know, every person you see, there's a story, there's a background that brought them to this point. Now, for many of us, we sometimes wonder. We wonder about our friendship networks. We wonder about people that we meet. We sometimes wonder about our parents. It's a really good capacity to develop in your own heart the realization there is a story that brought them to this point. And so Jesus' way of coming to that point was to be listening to God. God was the one who was going to help him to shape up his opinions. I was watching a TV show not so long ago, and a young person was, the TV show was called Bondi Rescue. Might as well give it a bit of a plug, free plug for Bondi Rescue. And a child was brought up into the lifeguard's tower, and the child was reacting a lot more strongly than everyone else who was brought up who'd been stung by a blue bottle. I've been stung by a blue bottle. On more than one occasion, I've been stung by a blue bottle, and it does. It hurts if you're stung by a blue bottle jellyfish. And it's a stinger, and it really does. It really is a sting, and it'll probably hurt for about half an hour. Well, this little child, maybe 10 or 12, they were really being quite hysterical about it. When I first saw, I thought, come on, toughen up, princess. You're going to be all right. You know, you're going to get over it in half an hour. But oh no, they were carrying on enormously. And so I was passing judgment on the child, thinking to myself, they really should just toughen up a little bit. Maybe mum should, who was mother was with the child, maybe should help them to toughen up a little bit. Now, quite clearly, the people creating the TV show knew that people would be doing that. I was doing exactly what they predicted that people would be doing. Then they did a little follow-up story to it, saying how the child had Asperger's. And the way that child was hardwired, it was very, very difficult for them not to give expression to what they were feeling. It was spilling out really on steroids. And, you know, I felt not good about myself. I thought, what a judgmental person am I, how quick I am to form opinions. That was not the way that Jesus did it. Jesus listened to what God was saying to him before he formed his opinions. That's a real saver right there. Paradigm number 5 of Jesus. Jesus allowed God to instruct him on the content of his message and on how he was going to deliver it. Now, this is not just for public speakers. This is good for people at work, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it. This is good for marriage, what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it. It's great for parenting, just being neighborly. Look, here's how Jesus said it. John chapter 12, verse 49. I don't speak on my own authority, he said. The Father who sent me has commanded me, ready, come and say it with me, what to say and how to say it. That's the New Living Translation. Some translations say what to say and what to speak, which seems like a double up, what to say and what to speak. Feels like he just said the same thing twice. It's nuanced. What to say and how to say it. So much of the weight of what you say isn't actually the words that you choose. It's to do with the how you say it. It's your tone. It's your timing. It's your facial expression. It's the 360 orbit around the communicator, and not just the public communicator. It's the 360 orbit around what's happening inside your home and the way you're communicating with one another. Well, Jesus' paradigm was that he would have his ear and heart inclined towards God, not only for content, what to say. That's challenging enough for me, by the way, simply what to say. But how to say it, that's tone. And so Jesus was a master of that. Therefore, anticipate that God will not only tell you what to say, he'll also show you how to say it. That's a great one. Okay, paradigm number 6. This is the final paradigm before we're going to look at applying some of this stuff into different domains. Paradigm number 6. Jesus giving us a peek behind the curtain on how he does what he does. Jesus allowed God to speak and work through him. That's how he did it. He put it this way in John chapter 14, verse 10. He said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Say it with me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Okay, now I want you to make that personal now. The Father who lives in me. Let's step back. The words I speak are not my own. You know, it's so hard for me even to say that. The words I speak are not my own. Well, I know I get in the way all the time. I know my capacity for you to hear what Dale thinks, for you to hear what Dale's got to say. So my regular prayer before I stand up to speak like this is to say, Father, I've got nothing. You've got everything. I present myself that you will speak through me. That's me attempting to live in the weight, the gravitas of this statement from Jesus. The words I speak are not my own. Now, no one's going to do it perfectly except Jesus. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Embrace that yourself. The Father who lives in you speaks through you. The Father who lives in you, God who lives in you, will work through you. You're the delivery boy or you're the delivery girl. You're not the baker or the bread. You're just the delivery person. It doesn't rest on your capacity. You know, it says elsewhere in the New Testament, we have this treasure. Speaking about God himself, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of the power be of God and not of ourselves. That's living in a different paradigm. That's the Jesus paradigm. God in me, God working through me. The Apostle Paul described himself as kind of the chief of all sinners. And he said that he spoke about God demonstrating his perfect patience through him. God working through you. It's the Jesus paradigm. It's not you trying to do it for God. You're just going to exhaust yourself. Like really, who can do stuff for God? You don't need to do stuff for God. You need to allow God to work through you. And it's wonderfully liberating to come to that point where you say, I can't, but God, you can. Heaven sighs at that point, and God himself works through you by his Holy Spirit. Here's the paradigm, therefore God allows to speak and work through you. Okay, let's now take these ideas into being the pastor of our street. Going to move through this really quickly because you are the pastor of your street. I don't know about you, I have really high hopes and beliefs for the unhindered work of God, the expansive work of God during the COVID-19 season. We're coming to you from Melbourne. Melbourne's really in lockdown right now. You've got to, yes, by law, you got to wear a face mask, not when you're communicating like this. That's why I can take it off. But Melbourne really is in lockdown. Very restricted reasons why you should leave your house. So that the church can't come together like this, but you can still be the church. God's still doing his home visits. God is still there with you. And what's more, God will work through you. I believe that the church can grow through this season. I believe that God is at work through this season. You know, I received an email just last night from CK. CK, you know who you are. Tell me about multiple people he's led to faith in Jesus just in the COVID-19 season. I got told this week about 25 young people who put their trust in Jesus during the youth online camp. I just want to say praise God. We had a leaders meeting just Tuesday last week, and we heard about 8 people who in the previous 7 days had just put their trust in Jesus. God at work, God touching lives. You're the pastor of your street. Okay, with the paradigm of Jesus, how do you do that? How do you do it during lockdown? Okay, number one, prayer walk your street as part of your daily exercise routine. And then look for what God is saying and doing. So you're allowed to get out and exercise. Stretch those legs, get that heart and lungs pumping. Walk your street, but do it in such a way that you're saying, God, what are you saying and what are you doing in my street? That's number one, part of being pastor in your street. Number two, allow yourself to be interrupted. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. If you're the pastor of your street, it is about the journey. This is where you live. And God will work through the interruptions. I love this. Interruptions are God's invitation to see him around us. Have you ever noticed that so much of what Jesus did happened on the basis of an interruption? And that's the way that Jesus operated. Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way. He said, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important tasks. It's strange. It's a strange fact that Christians and even ministers frequently consider their work so important and urgent, they will allow nothing to disturb them. They think they're doing God's service in this, but actually they are disdaining God's crooked yet straight path. Well, I guess I want to ask you, are you interruptible? If you're going to be the pastor of your street, you have to have time. You've got to create space. COVID-19 has been the great interruption. It's caused us to slow our lives down. It's caused us to operate in a different paradigm. You now are in your street. Make sure there is space for you to be interrupted so you can care for others. Now, find common ground. Paradigm number three. You're going to be the pastor of your street. You've got to be prepared to find common ground. Find your love of football. Go Saints, big win last night. Well, whatever it might be, Pastor Toby earlier was talking about his mate. They had a common love in yachting. Doesn't matter, honestly, it just doesn't matter what it is, but find your common ground. Ross, who lives diagonally opposite me, who's got his PhD in earth and sciences, Ross and I will sometimes chat about science. We'll sometimes chat about God because he's theologically trained as well. So we'll chat about all sorts of stuff. And Ross, if you're watching this, I know and you know, and you're very transparent about the fact you're an atheist, but we are good mates and we love each other. Ross and Barbara, God bless you guys. Find common ground. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Find your common ground with the people of your street. Paradigm number four, allow your neighbor to be the expert. Pastor Toby actually touched on this one as well. I think I learned this one from him. Allow somebody else to be the expert. In other words, allow them to speak. Jesus demonstrated this. Someone actually came to him once and they're an expert in the law. They were trying to test Jesus. Teacher, they asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responds by saying, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, do you see that? Jesus empowers the person, and the person was able to respond by saying, well, the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you're really close to the kingdom. Now, Jesus actually allowed the person to carry weight. He heard them, he asked, and he heard them. That's a really powerful paradigm. Allow your neighbors to be teachers who can speak into their various domains. Paradigm number five, listen to what the Father is saying to you in the moment. You've got to be prepared to catch the moment. We've got to learn how to connect the dots inside ourselves between what's God saying and what am I doing about it. Discipleship 101 right there. So you're walking your street, as you're praying, as you're interacting with your neighbors, as you're loving them generously, what's God saying? And what am I doing about it? Number six, dispense grace generously. God's been incredibly generous with us. Let's be generous with others as well. God didn't send his son to the world to judge the world, the Bible says, but that the world should be saved through him. God pours grace upon grace on our lives. Take note of people's names and stories. So whether it's Ross and Barbara, whether it's Mary and Joseph, whether it's Ben and Mojda, whether it's Chris, whether it's Adam and Beck, whether it's Arthur and Judy, Max and Kim, Ian and Anne, like these are my immediate neighbors. They are my friends. We're in a WhatsApp chat group together. We went back when we could. Once a month, we'd be in each other's homes with food and drinks and laughter and storytelling and in each other's lives. You know, just in the last week or so, one of the neighbors contacted me because there was a challenge that was happening. In fact, two neighbors in the last week have contacted me about challenges that were happening. We get the opportunity to love and care for one another. It's part of being the pastor in your spirit. And then finally, you be the distribution agency. If you're part of Crossway, there's enormous resource that sits behind you. Not only is there a God, well, there's the great resource. God himself is behind you. But you know, you can be the distribution agency of food. You can be the distribution agent of a computer. If you've got a dead or dying computer, we've got the capacity to restore the brains and we'll give it away for free to a family who needs it. With grateful thanks to Optus, we'll give away data as well. We're here for you, but you be the distribution agency. Food, computers, data, care, love, time, resource, be the pastor of your street. Let's see what God's doing. And let's join him, is it? Okay, it's the Jesus paradigm. It is the Jesus paradigm. There is enormous opportunity for you right now. God is not hindered. Make sure you seize the opportunity that God's putting before you. Let's pray together, shall we? So, our Father in heaven, we give you thanks. When I say thank you, that Jesus was prepared to open it up and to say, hey, here's how I do what I do. Thank you that he dialed it all back and he explained to us what it looked like to be able to do life the way he wants it to be done. So Father in heaven, by your Holy Spirit, and for each one of us, it's my prayer In fact, it's our collective prayer that we'll know what it is to walk with you. There will be people who can join you because you are an unstoppable force. You are an unstoppable God. You're a God who's prepared to love generously. You're a God who's prepared to stretch our lives out. There are greater works that can be done. So God in heaven, may it be so. Be the unstoppable God that you are in our own lives, in our experience. For the glory and the honor of your name, and God's people said, amen and amen.